Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's not by blood and it's not by birth, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore is here.
All right.
And Signor Pete Donaldson.
Have you been, Mark, for 20 years?
Welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. Come and embrace us as we embrace you, damn you. Chaps, how are we? Football's been happening.
Good, yeah.
You
say that every show now. It's like your new catchphrase.
Always right, though.
Where we normally have hashtag usual places on social media, we should now have hashtag football's been happening.
It's a long one. It's not pithy, is it?
You won't get many more characters in.
No.
That's true. That's all right. I quite like it. I find it endearing.
Yeah. I should do some sort of Attenborough-style programme where I'm going through the Amazon, seeing which kind of tribes and play football or not. Yeah. football's been happening here. Look at the goalpost.
Speaking of impressions, Pete tried to do something from Trainspotting in that intro, but ended up sounding like the guy who sings Donald, Where's Your Trousers, Andy Stewart.
For 20 years!
There you go. There it is again.
Donaldson, Where's Your Impression?
Yeah. Donaldson, Where's Your Skill Set?
Went ears, I got that.
All right. Any one of his managers. Hey, come on. That's no need for that.
No manager.
Marcus Alonso has said that Chelsea have 7 finals left with which to win the league.
Everyone says this when they're about to win the league. Or trying to escape relegation. We've got, in Sunderland's case, we've got 38 cup finals ahead of us.
That's what Moyes was saying on the first day of training. Yeah. 38 cup finals, boys. Yeah. And you're never going to win all of them.
And by the way, there's no chance you're going to get to an actual cup final.
I mean, a cup final is actually quite fun and exciting.
That's not
what Moyes would be saying. He'd be going, it'll be something. We've got 37 relegation battles.
Pete. Yep. You're a Newcastle fan. What do you know about cup finals?
Our cup finals are the third round. Just getting out of the third round is a success. Yeah.
Well, it's the final game in a cup, isn't it? Maybe that's what they're misunderstanding.
Yeah. Looking back at my time at Sunderland, it was pretty successful, actually. We had 8 cup finals.
We got to 8 cup finals.
That's right, yeah.
Well, 4 of them were at home. Yeah.
Both two-legged affairs, lost them all. Chelsea have looked quite comfortable at the top of the table for a few months now, it's safe to say. So if you could handicap them across those 7 cup finals, how would you do it? Jim?
Well, 7 games are quite an interesting number, isn't it, in a sense. So, because if you screw them up, you let someone else in, effectively. Yeah. So if you handicap them well, they might screw it up. So what I would do is I would make it so that for the final 7 games, offsides didn't count against Chelsea. And you have to wonder how they would react to that. Because obviously you'd think they'd defend really, really deep. But then you can't really attack very much because you leave yourself wide open. So if you draw every game, 7 points, you know you're going to let Spurs in.
I'll tell you now, Jim. This is how they'd react to that. They'd play John Terry.
Yeah. I was thinking
they would be absolutely fine.
I was thinking when you were describing that, I was thinking they still might get over the line.
Yeah,
they still might get over the line.
That's what makes it intriguing for me, though. You can't make it ridiculous. Like you got to give them a fighting chance.
It's an opening question. I think you can do it.
More on Donaldson wet in the wings, it might get ridiculous.
Yeah, bear in mind, I don't want Spurs to actually do this. That's baked into this answer.
It's a bit of a bugger for an Arsenal fan because it's Chelsea, presumably. Most Arsenal fans don't like Chelsea. And all Spurs.
Darkest timeline.
Yeah. When I say all Spurs, for me, the title race, it's very, very slim pickings for Spurs. But I know other people in here disagree.
Well, I've said that if they get through the 2 games that they had from last week, they'll be fine. And they got through one of them already. So, you know, I might be in your camp, firmly in your camp. I mean, I've got 1 foot in your camp already. Mm-hmm. I think you know this after we spent the weekend together.
It's a lovely old camp.
More on that later. But
yeah.
I'll have both feet in the camp probably this time next week.
Yeah, Luke's doing this for the sake of football. He's not doing it for the sake of you, Marcus.
No, exactly. Yeah.
No, it's all about those footballs. Luke, what are you on?
I was going to go with something sort of anti-gravity related at Cobham Training Ground, but I thought I might be sort of venturing into Pete Donaldson territory, so I thought I'd leave him there. Mm. And what I've focused on here is I've zoned in on the word handicap in this question, and I would go for very much like a handicap horse race.
Yes.
So they get ratings, and however good they are, they get weight put on them. So what you'd find is you'd get yourself into a Stanley Matthews type situation where and younger listeners won't one for the teenagers, Stanley Matthews, younger listeners won't remember, but Stanley Matthews used to train with heavy boots on and weights on and stuff, so he would seem sharper during the game.
I think we're all in the same boat with Stanley Matthews. I don't remember him turning out.
You remember him, don't you? He played till he was about 85. Surely someone here remembers it. But anyway, so I would do that, but I would handicap them literally like a horse handicapper does, and make them wear extra weight. And if it got silly and they got too far ahead, I'd actually put jockeys on their backs.
Okay,
nice.
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
I thought you were going to go for like a golf masters thing there when you mentioned handicap.
So would they have to do what the jockey says? That'd be interesting.
Well, they get whipped.
Yeah.
Get hit with the riding crop.
Yeah, they are no longer in charge of their own tactics. Yeah. It's like having a manager on your back
and I'd put horseshoes on them instead of football boots as well.
who'd be the jockeys? Like former Chelsea players like Dennis Wise and Jody Morris.
You'd have to get small ones. Yeah. John maybe. Spencer.
They'd have to pick a Chelsea player from years gone by.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not going to be picking like Winston Bahala because he's massive. They'd pick like Nigel Spackman or Franco Zola would be a good one.
Yeah. Spackman wasn't that short, was
he?
Oh, I can't remember.
In my mind, he's quite short.
Put chilies on their testicles. That's what they do at the horses, don't they?
Really?
What? Or they rub some kind of hot stuff on their bits to make them run. Make you run, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but not in a particularly focused way.
In a circle, maybe.
Is that your answer?
No. My answer couldn't be further away from horses.
Well, that's an absolute...
Yeah, you idiot.
Yeah,
that's I feel I sit here very reassured by that news. Go on in, Peter.
No, Pete, while you occupy the moral high ground, why don't you answer the question?
it's probably before I fall, isn't it, really? So I'd go like through seven challenges, like as in the seven Ronin.
Okay, yeah.
The masterless samurai from the Kurosawa film. They'd have to take on them in a battle of wits and fighting. Mm-hmm. Then they'd have to get through the seven brides, then the seven brothers, then the Magnificent Seven, then the ones from the remake.
And how many were going to St. Ives?
And then then they'd have to watch the film Seven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they'd have to watch the film Lucky Number 11 with Josh Harnett.
That's the hardest challenge of all those.
That's the hardest challenge. So it's a terrible film, so...
Does it handicap them that much?
Yeah.
So basically, what you're doing is handicap them in your own time. You're making them watch a couple of films.
Yeah. No.
Are they doing this instead of training?
No. The last two of the films, the rest are actually got to fight.
Oh,
seven.
That's
women.
Okay then.
So you give them this ordeal, then you give them some time to get over it by relaxing.
Yeah. A couple of movies, mate.
Yeah. But they are taking on some warriors, aren't they, and whatnot?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they could. Yeah.
Injuries. When you say getting through the seven brides, should we revisit that or ignore
John
it?
I'm not sure for that.
Can I also say when he said take on Ronin, the Ronin bit, in a battle of wits, that was when I started to fear for him. Battle of wits will be the toughest part of that, and getting through that Josh Hartnett film. Josh Hartnett, capable of good performances in good movies, but also very bad performances too.
Picks his projects badly, much like myself.
I was about to say.
Project Company included.
in the spirit of the current political climate, I'd bring back the three foreigners rule, which you used to have in the Champions League.
Mm. You used to have that in Serie A as well, I think.
Did you really? Okay. Yeah, exactly. But I'd implement it into the Premier League and Spurs would fare a lot better than Chelsea.
They certainly would.
I think Chelsea, John Terry would be up for it because he'd start.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason. But I think Spurs, they've got a very, very good crop of English players, of course. Well, Chelsea, not so much. And I think that would end Chelsea.
They certainly have. On the John Terry thing, it's so funny, isn't it, that with all the issues around who's going to face Steven Gerrard out of the Liverpool side and how difficult it is to these big English personalities in the Premier League. Mm. Conte's coming. Terrick, you're out. You're not in the team.
Yeah.
If you've got a problem with that, come speak to me.
Mourinho.
I promise you will not enjoy the conversation.
Yeah. No one's got a problem with it seems. Not even, I don't see anyone mention it. Yeah.
Oh, well, shall we go to the Premier League, eh?
Points.
Before we go to the Premier League, I think the points... What was your answer, Luke?
It was horse handicapping.
Yeah, that's got it, isn't it?
What? I wrote mine down. I never did that.
Yeah, he's got a big list there.
Just because you prepared properly,
Pete,
doesn't mean to say you...
Pete, I'll give you one of my points. If you can beat me in a battle of wits.
There we are. Into the Premier League. Spurs beat Watford 4-0. All the goals were very impressive in White Hart.
Like, they were.
If the season was a month longer... That would probably suit Spurs. Well, obviously it would suit Spurs because they're chasing. But they've really come into their own recently. I mean, they've been great largely all season, hence they're in second place. And it's only been a magnificent Chelsea consistent performance throughout the season. But Spurs just... With this side and the manager, I know it seems a bit of an obvious thing to say, but next season...
Yeah.
Surely. I know we said this last season, but if they do manage to finish second, they've gone one better.
They've run close so many times recently as well. Mm.
It's not that obvious a point because it's important to mention that they're improving year on year.
Yeah.
So they're going to improve. I mean, we talked about this earlier in maybe late last week. They're improving year on year and they're going to absolutely smash their last season's points total out of the water. Uh-huh. I mean, they're going to be... I think their record points total is AVB a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I think they came fourth, weirdly enough, or fifth even. Right. Anyway, but that was their record points total under AVB, I think. They're going to beat that too. They're doing their job. They're going about their business pretty well. I mean, they've won however many in a row now.
Six in a row.
Yeah, right. And I tell you what is an incredible situation is the Dele Alli situation. I mean, he's 21 years old tomorrow. So he's only 20 at the time of recording.
And he's already better than Cristiano Ronaldo,
well,
is that right?
Listen, you say that frivolously, right? But he's got 16 Premier League goals this season. Mm. Steven Gerrard never scored more than 16 Premier League goals in his entire career in one season. He's got 19 in all competitions. You know, if you look at the list of players who've scored more Premier League goals than him this season, it's big names and it's strikers. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it.
I mean, there was a Match of the Day did a sort of rundown of players like comparable to him at that age and what they'd score, and he was ahead of like Cristiano Ronaldo. Obviously, he wasn't always in England, but Gerrard, Lampard, so many of the big names. He's already like, you know, compared
Lampard
to them at the time, ahead of. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah,
he was.
But there's a lot of big names in there still.
But Jim, on that point as well. you know, think of the chat that people are putting about Eden Hazard. Now, all right, Chelsea are probably going to win the league, and he's been a brilliant player for them, and no one's taken anything away from him. Ali's got more goals than him.
Yeah,
he's got more goals than him. So I mean, fair enough. What matters at the end of the season, I've passionately believed this ever since I've been a football fan. What matters at the end of the season is the trophies that you win.
Yeah.
But special mention for Ali because he was fantastic again against Watford, who are shot now. But he's been really, really good.
Peter, do you like the variations of the hand celebrations?
Oh, I don't like that.
I don't think anybody likes that, to be honest.
Do you know, I think that might be a bit of you.
Ali likes it.
Over the weekend, didn't Lord Ramble, who's a big Spurs fan, say that Dele Alli was up for leaving for the continent at some point?
Yeah, apparently he's on the record as saying that his ambition in the future is to play abroad. And I, for one, don't know why he doesn't just immediately do that.
Yeah, today.
Celebrate
your 21st birthday by going
by
to Barcelona
to Real Madrid
and never come back.
in a few years' time, maybe all Premier League matches will be played abroad, so he'll be all right.
Mm. The problem with that, Jim, is if he does go, Spurs will probably replace him with Alexis Sanchez. No one else was like that.
Actually, a friend of mine who's a Spurs fan has said that he feels that they do need like a big name player to kick them on. And you look at someone like, I don't know, Marco Reus or Aubameyang or someone like that. If they were to get like another player, I don't know, they don't need Aubameyang in that position. But yeah, you wonder. I mean, you look at where they are now, and you know, you can't really scoff at them getting a player of that calibre because they're not going to win the league. It's very unlikely that they will. But based on the last couple of seasons and the players they have, because you'd be surprised if any of them left, apart from Lamella, who they can clearly afford to not have around. Like, they're a prospect. They will be able to attract big names now.
A signing like Mesut Ozil or Alexis Sanchez could really benefit them.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I feel like Ozil's star might not fit into that Spurs team.
No, I don't. I was being sarcastic.
I know you were.
Yeah.
But Spurs have been magnificent, but Chelsea is still out in front. They've obviously beat Bournemouth. Spurs did manage to cut the lead to 4 points for a few hours.
They did.
What's interesting as well is because they've got each other in the cup. If Spurs win that, you wonder how that will, you know, maybe affect the psychology with the running.
I would like to see Pochettino get a trophy, get his hands on a trophy. I mean, he's clearly such a good manager. And you know, the only problem with the FA Cup semi-final coming up is that Spurs' record at Wembley is poor. And then
but they do have the experience of playing there now, don't they?
Yeah, they have experience of being dreadful at Wembley.
England have experience of playing at Wembley for crying out loud. Conte said this about Chelsea not giving in. He said, "I like the pressure. I live off the pressure. I don't see pressure. I put on pressure."
Stop saying pressure. Stop saying it.
Hang on, he lives off pressure, but he also doesn't see pressure.
Yeah. But then he puts
like
it
air
on.
I guess.
It's like one of those like riddles that you have in that Lord of the Rings book. I learnt the pressure, I live off pressure, I don't see pressure, I put on pressure. What am I? A fossil. Yeah.
The rain.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Spurs remaining fixtures, Bournemouth at home next. Chelsea have got Manchester United away. Now, for Spurs' sake, Chelsea need to drop points.
Exactly what I said on Thursday, wasn't it? Yeah. They're the two key games for them, because after that, Southampton at home, you fancy them to win that.
Everton away
is a tough one, but it's probably going to be more or less done by then. I mean, listen, if it comes down to the last day of the season, I hate to break this to you Spurs fans, but Chelsea are at home to Sunderland.
Yeah. But what about, they've got Middlesbrough at home as well?
Yeah.
Spurs have Leicester on the last day, don't they?
They do. No, they've got Hull away.
Right.
Sunderland might be Solms' manager, though, so they could...
Imagine that.
I mean, they basically are, aren't they?
If they are going to get relegated, but as soon as they do get relegated, Sunderland. It's funny how we would go back to Sunderland. It's right for
chat. It is literally funny.
Yeah. I mean, but Marcus, I was just going to say, when they get relegated, would that just not be the final sort of blow to Moyes' like fragile confidence? They just fire him. At least give me to the end of the season.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
At least let me see out
one's fixing this. At least let me see it out.
What I would say is that Spurs played Newcastle on the last game of the season last season, and we were down and got hammered.
Yeah, they did. But Chelsea. Yeah,
Newcastle. What was it, 5-1 Newcastle?
5-1?
5-1. Yeah, it was.
Could set a precedent.
Yeah.
Already relegated. Didn't Newcastle have a man sent off as well?
Rings a bell.
There was definitely a red card in that game.
Mm. My goodness. So, going back to Spurs versus Watford, Troy Deeney wasn't happy being put on the bench for Watford. This was due to his physical condition, according to the manager. Yeah. Was he pissed?
That's pissed. That's been.
He wasn't drunk, everybody.
He wasn't picked, I know that.
Yeah. It is a bit of a hard one to take, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a public dressing down for a player like Troy Deeney, who has, you know, been such a brilliant servant for Watford.
Yeah, and also, I mean, what I like about this is the pettiness of it.
Yep.
Watford a tenth. Not going to get relegated. not going to do anything else. Yeah. Let's just drop the captain. Just drop him. Yeah. I'm probably going to go in the summer. That's what Mazzari's thinking. I'm going to go in the summer. I'll drop the captain. Have a bit of fun with it.
Why should I drop him? Too fat.
Yeah. Just say something else to the media. Do you know what I mean? Just say, tactically, I wanted to set up differently or something like
that. But the problem is, if you said anything like that, I mean, I suppose he has said that it was to do with the physical condition, is what he said, yeah. wasn't it?
Have you seen the state of him?
Deeny could always just pop up and go, that's not true.
Yeah, well, I think he has, isn't he?
The same way Ginola and John Gregory, when John Gregory said Ginola was out of shape at Aston Villa, and Ginola scored that amazing goal, took his shirt off, and he was ripped.
Yeah, but that was provable. If he said, well, it's for tactical reasons, I'm not playing Deeney, and they said, oh, you said it was because I was out of shape. Yeah, I needed someone quicker against Spurs or something.
He said it was for tactical reasons. Yeah, well, no, it wasn't actually because I was fat.
No, I said
I meant the player should say.
I meant tactful reasons. Based
on the result, is it fair to say the tactical decision by Mazzari didn't work? You imagine Dini just sat there with a grin on his face, going, "Well, yeah, you know,
no one was eating any goals that afternoon.
Just off out to the burger van. Anyone want anything?
Oh dear. Are we ready to move on to Stoke Liverpool?
Ready as we can be. I think ready as you can ever be to go to Stoke.
It was Klopp's first away win in 2017.
That's a magnificent start.
Weird, isn't it also their first win without Sadio Mane?
Mane's been injured. He is injured, and he's going to be out for a long time, which is a shame. But where Firmino's whacking him in like that, who cares? Beautiful. What a satisfying one it was.
He always takes his shirt off, Firmino. He's a little sausage. He's like Donny. Any opportunity to take
his
shirt off.
When you say sausage, you mean mischievous.
Yeah, a little sausage.
That's five bookings for every five goals then, surely.
I think
he's got the record for needless yellow cards, like for over celebrations, stuff like that.
Someone should tell him.
That's something that absolutely you would be guilty of if you're a Premier League player, Pete.
Yeah.
But just during games. Wouldn't necessarily be
not
to celebrate anything.
Aren't it hot?
a bit few and far between.
If I had the physique of a footballer, I'd not wear a shirt. I'd have a shirt painted on.
Pete, is someone...
Those women come World Cup time. Pete, in the sun.
Yeah. Pete, is anyone at your football team able to pinpoint your celebration yet? John Walters has got a good record against Liverpool, hasn't he?
He does.
He scored another one.
He's a scouser as well, isn't he?
I seem to remember him.
An Irish scouser, like John Aldridge.
I seem to remember scoring a few against Liverpool.
Yeah.
I might be wrong.
A couple of huge saves from Simon Mignolet.
He really
deserves some credit, actually, for sort of establishing himself back in the team and being in a very, very good run of form.
Yeah, I mean, doing his job, Jim.
Still not convinced as him as a number one.
Doing it well.
Not convinced as a number one for Liverpool, though, Jim.
No, but I mean, in the
circumstances,
you know, you can't really fault him. Which has not been the case in the past.
Well, I was going to say, I've been a bit sort of silly there.
His target is being unfaultable.
But he made two superb saves.
He did. But the Mignolet point I'd like to make is, and I'm not undermining what you're saying, Jim, because I do get your point, is that, you know, he hasn't been doing what he's supposed to do, and now he is. So at the very basic level, we're even.
Yeah, all right. You know what I mean? You could say that about a lot of players who have come.
A lot of Liverpool goalkeepers, to be fair.
I bloody well do.
Yeah.
isn't Coutinho the Brazilian to have scored the most Premier League goals now, which sounds mad, but I think that might be right. I'm sure I'll get loads of pelters if I'm not. But
it is right. I'm pretty sure that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But
great story about him playing.
Yeah, it was. It was incredible with Coutinho. He was meant to be sitting at home resting because he was ill. He's lost 3 kilograms, which is over 6 pounds in 3 days. Hadn't trained. He was told to stay at home, and then he sent
six kilograms in 3 days. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
For a footballer.
Well, for anybody.
Because you wouldn't imagine he'd have an awful lot of excess, excess fat.
It's all water, isn't it?
Well, he sent for his driver, who drove him to the team's hotel in the morning of the match. He was like, no, I'm not having this. I want to get involved. And, of course, he did. He came on and changed the game, really. He did. He scored the equalising goal. But it's sensational, isn't it? He just loves playing football, loves being involved. He's such a great player.
The great thing about it is that I like the way it was reported. Like, now footballers are sending for drivers.
Yeah.
I sent for my driver, and he took me to the hotel.
Yep.
Deeney's got a driver. I know that for a fact, because he was getting interviewed in the BBC, and he was saying he doesn't drive his own car, he's got a driver.
Well, you would have. I mean, how much?
He doesn't walk everywhere, does he? According to Mazzari.
Even if it costs 150 grand a year to have a driver...
It won't cost
I don't like waiting around for people, though, you know what I mean?
But you're not going to be the driver, Pete.
No, but I don't like waiting around for people sort of...
Can
he come round? Can he bring the car around? Just go and get the car yourself.
You can't even drive. So how are you complaining about that?
What do you mean?
To be fair, he's put himself in a fantasy world. Presumably he could drive in that fantasy world.
Yeah, but how...
I wouldn't need a driver because I would just fly a helicopter there. Flap my wings and I'd be away.
Even if it is 150k a year or whatever, which I'm sure it isn't, you're a multi-million... I mean, you'd have a driver, surely you would, because you can go and have beers whenever you want then.
Professional footballer.
Not for Troy Deeney. Yeah.
That started so well.
Wait, hold on a minute. If we're living in a fantasy world that's so extreme that Pete can drive a car, I'm allowed to be a footballer who likes a beer, all right?
Oh, dear me. But it was a good win for Liverpool. Vital one.
Exactly, it absolutely was.
Keeps them in the hunt for, what is it, second or third place. You know, they're
Well, it'll be third place now, probably, although Man City have got a game in hand. But the reason it's a good result for them, another good result for them, is because they're six games without being beaten now. Mm. And that sort of game, probably back in January time, you'd have thought, you'd have feared for them there.
Mm. Yeah, we were saying this the other week, and I know a lot of people share the same sentiment. If Liverpool can just put these games away, they'd be challenging.
They were big time.
Such a great record against those other sides in the top seven. The way they dispatched Everton the other week, a derby game, Everton are going really well. And really just sort of brushed them aside. Everton looked distinctly second best on the day.
Is it a similar problem that Arsenal have had?
No.
In recent years in particular, though? No, but if you look at January, they were terrible. Their confidence was shot to bits.
But listen
to the actual point. Their confidence was completely shot. The moment they were looking like they might actually do something, the pressure was on, and then it told. Now they're sort of, they're aiming high, but they're not actually under that pressure
they're
of maybe winning something.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think it's a slightly different one because Arsenal never win big games. They never beat... I know they've beaten Chelsea this season, but seldom do they actually beat the likes of Manchester United, Man City and Chelsea, apart from the odd result here and there.
The Liverpool thing, I mean, if you look at their results... I said January, but you look at their results in February, they lost to Hull in the league and they lost to Leicester in the league. They won those two games, they'd be 6 points off the top.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So and they would be in the hunt. And you know...
They did have injuries at those times.
Every team gets injuries. I mean, Arsenal have had a lot of injuries. I mean, that's part of how it goes. And if you're 6 points within it, you're officially in a title race, as far as I'm concerned. And Liverpool could have been there.
It's the 6 point goal standard, people.
But I'm reading the book, Ancelotti book at the moment, and he said that he thinks Klopp will do a really good job at Liverpool long term. So I mean, I agree with that. I think he will.
He's definitely enriched the Premier League, hasn't he?
Not the first time me and Ancelotti have agreed.
No, right. Stoke are on 36 points along with West Ham, Burnley and Leicester. There's a lot of teams around there as well. And it's strange because those teams, they could finish sort of 15th, 16th or even as high as 9th or 10th. I was thinking about Stoke and Mark Hughes and I thought, Do you think Mark Hughes will get a crack at a sort of slightly higher level? Because he obviously went to Man City. That was the biggest job he's done so far. But it was a bit of a funny time for the club. Now, obviously, he's not... You know, they'd rather Pep Guardiola. I think they're fine. Is the way they are. Yeah. But do you think Hughes will get a chance? Maybe.
Where is the club nowadays? I mean, where is the club that's in that kind of echelon for you?
Where are those? And Stoke, by the way, are the only team in the Premier League at the moment to have lost their last four games, I think.
Yeah, they've not
so
done so
they're,
well.
They're in a terrible run. I mean,
do you know what I mean by Hughes?
I do. I think he's probably settled at his level now, though.
I think
the Man City job was that chance, and it's that ship has sailed now.
Is it the new Pulis? The newless?
Newless.
Pulis is having a great season as well. Well, we're going to talk more Premier League after this.
Hi, I'm Frank Lovoff. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Have we got news for you? Ooh. We're doing a ruddy live show in May.
Yes.
It's going to be in London. It's on the 27th of May.
At the Hackney Empire.
It's going to be cracking.
It's the only live show we're doing for the end of the season. On the 27th of May, as Marcus says, it's a Saturday night, so no excuses.
And it's after the FA Cup final.
Indeed. Mm. Tickets aren't on sale just yet, but you need to keep in touch with our social media. So at Football Ramble on Twitter, at The Football Ramble on Instagram, and facebook.com/footballramble to keep an eye on when the tickets go on sale, because they will go quick. It's the only show we're doing. Mm-hmm. Hackney Empire, Saturday 27th of May.
And don't worry about the FA Cup final, because it will be the event will start way after the final whistle.
Yeah, of course.
Even if it goes to penalties, you won't miss a jot. It'll be a wonderful way if you're on the if you support the winning side to celebrate with the Football Ramble,
or to commiserate,
or
if you're part of the other 100 odd teams that didn't make it or win it, you can come and commiserate.
Exactly.
With us.
Yeah.
I had so much fun at Hackney Empire last time. I'm going to go crazy.
I guarantee.
Crazier.
Are you allowed back after?
Pete personally guarantees that we'll talk about every single football club in the UK.
Yeah.
So there's no excuses to not be there.
The UK, that is. Northern Ireland.
We're talking about every Sunday league team you've ever played in as well.
Yeah.
What, me?
Yeah.
Shouldn't take
that'll take me a while.
Now it's time for emails with PTD.
It is time for emails with PTD.
Go on, Donny.
I think my sheets are back in the order that I printed them out of, but Marcus Speller messed them up.
Mm-hmm.
Eager Beaver. Hola los Rambalos. This is from Theo. A long-time fan of the show. Greetings from Chile, where I this weekend had the pleasure of going to the Santiago Derby between Universidad de Chile, nickname The Noise, and Colo Colo, which is grandiosely billed as the Superclásico. And indeed, it was super. Despite the quality of football being pretty turgid, the game finished 2-2. Due to the volatile atmosphere, corner takers are protected by crash helmet-wearing stewards,
blimey,
who also hold parasols above the player's head while he takes a run-up.
I'd love it if the players themselves had to put a helmet on. Take it,
yeah.
One of those little funny mini umbrella hats.
Umbrella hat, that'd be good. Yeah,
how would that help?
Well, just because any very, very light missile would almost certainly be repelled.
If somebody throws a cream puff at him, it just bounces straight off.
Shred it.
So Theo ends his email with Hala Ramble.
Good,
so
to get, good to get a missive from a different continent. Yeah, always absolutely. Nice. I mean, look, we'd like to hear from Testicle Matt again. Mm. Yeah. You know, where is he at the moment?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Luke Harris says, hey guys, I just wanted to mention on the topic of apprentices cleaning boots, the Southampton Academy players still clean the senior players' boots.
Oh, that's what they're doing so well.
That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah. They've got a great setup.
That's one of the finest club on the south coast, isn't it?
hello to Alex in New Zealand.
Worldwide,
I know. Yeah. Worldwide. Mr. Worldwide, like Pitbull.
I feel like anything from the ISS.
I feel like we're a hip hop record label.
good day, lads. A few years back, you were talking last show about Leicester City giving away not muffins.
It was a cupcake and a beer.
Cupcake and a beer. Well, a few years back, I watched the Ramble's very own Jim try out some new stand-up material.
Did you give away cupcakes, Jim?
I'm joking. Well, upon entering the venue, beer in hand, it was a pub after all. Jim informed me that there were actually free cupcakes and to grab one before the performance began. The combination of them and beer was a delight.
That was the Pembroke Arms in Chalk Farm, if I remember rightly. Yeah, I can't do that anymore.
That's in reference to me saying that a cupcake and a beer is not a great combo.
I still disagree with it being a great combo. Yeah.
I think this man's a madman. To say you wouldn't have a cupcake with a beer. You just wouldn't do it.
We know his choices of entertainment are questionable. So.
The Ramble and your stand-up.
Tom Carpenter. All right, chaps. Listening to this week's pod, specifically the part where Luke bemoans people dumping items they no longer fancy buying in random places during their visit to a supermarket.
Yeah.
You were saying it really got on your nerves.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people getting involved on Twitter. Presumably people who have worked or do work in supermarkets that basically agree with you and say, thank you so much, Luke.
It stays with you.
Agree with you. It's a horrible sight.
Yeah.
Something not right.
You exclusively do your grocery shopping in Japanese shops, don't you?
Yeah, well, I manage to eat everything by the time I get to hotel. Then it's anyone. Seriously? Whatever packets I've still got left.
Just these napkins, please.
Pete lives in central London. Mm. Where do you go to the big supermarket? Where do you do your
I've recently discovered Ocado.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, fair enough.
It's amazing, Luke.
Not the same. That's very late for a man who's part internet.
I know, look, it's incredible. I've never known anything like it. Why haven't I been doing this forever? But he's enclosed the picture. Unfortunately, due to me not bringing a laptop, I can't show you the picture. Basically, somebody's got a packet of Durex lubricant and just put it in the Kinder egg display.
Come on.
All I'll say is that is the most egregious example of what I was talking about last week.
Jail sentence.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Minimum. and an unlimited fine.
What did you say minimum? What else could he get?
An unlimited fine.
All right.
I was tempted to say the chair.
unlimited chair.
Give him the chair.
It's all right. You've got your sentence is 3 years. Oh, that's not too bad. In the electric chair.
You're going to be like a roast chicken, a rotisserie chicken.
Ironically. This is the wrong section.
This is from Charlie. Hi, guys. After hearing stories about meeting players in person, I'd like to offer you mine. I was working in a restaurant that will have to remain nameless, where one evening we were informed that the restaurant was in fact closed to the public and we'd be hosting the entire Liverpool team and
Wings.
Their significant others, not Wings.
That's Manchester, isn't it? That's Manchester.
Being a lifelong United fan, you can imagine my disdain as I was told after to look after the table, which included Brendan Rodgers. Rodgers made a serious point about having both Henderson and Lallana sit by him, and during points in the meal would burst out with nonsense to break the silence, the favourite of which being Watched Up Again the other night. Great film, but that start gets me every time. So he's a big fan of Up, apparently. This caused both Henderson and Lallana to look up from their plate before catching each other's eye whilst they did their best to hold in a laugh.
Well, to be fair, it's a Disney Pixar movie.
The start of that film is very... It's a real tearjerker.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the saddest 10 minutes of film I've ever seen.
That's not nonsense at all. I'm with Brendan.
What I was intimating there is that by talking about a Disney Pixar movie, you might think that someone like Henderson or Lallana would enjoy that.
Yeah.
So he's doing his best there.
In this envelope, I've got a player that'll make me cry.
I've got a selection of Disney classics. Would you like to pick one from the envelope? Is what he was saying.
Nice.
But can I also say that also in that meal, I remember reading that at one point an Everton fan came over and said, "You've been like a breath of fresh air in this city."
Funny for now, with the Undertaker retiring from professional wrestling, I'd like to know where the Ramblers think he sits in line for the England job.
Wow.
Was he available?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's a big plus.
Paul Bearer's gone. He can't help him out. He can't be an assistant manager, so it's difficult.
I haven't watched I've wrestling.
Actually, Pete does a good impression of Paul Bearer.
That's a long time. I could give one a go.
Go on. My Undertaker.
Gander cheek.
Yeah. Mine veers off into the little pigs from the raccoons.
Okay.
Go on,
Cheryl Sneer, Cheer.
Yeah, I suppose it does. Yeah.
I haven't watched wrestling since about 1994.
Everyone's yes. back. The Hardy Boys are back.
Can I just clarify what you're
the
saying there?
Back.
The Undertaker's only just retired.
Just retired now.
Yeah,
he's a long career.
He looked quite old then.
Yeah. He was still the most popular. I watched him wrestle about 5 years ago, and he was buggered then.
Right, okay.
He can barely walk.
I've seen the film The Wrestler by Aronofsky, a fantastic movie.
Oh, yeah.
Really enjoyed it.
You're really talking about.
Did you cry in the first 10 minutes?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, he Undertaker's been around.
I cried the first 10 minutes, watching a film on my own again. Didn't think my life was
once, The Undertaker kind of rebranded, he was like a biker in the kind of like new metal
Wasn't
kind
he called
of time of.
American Badass,
yeah,
as well
I think
at the time.
So. Very strange.
My goodness.
Do you still watch wrestling, Peter?
No, I never did, and I still don't, but if wrestling there is, I'll watch it.
I haven't seen any in years.
You seem to know a lot, but that's fine.
Well, you know, show at the Football Ramble if you want to get involved and, you know, send us wrestling stories.
There we are.
Don't say, I mean, we'll get loads now.
All right, don't send us wrestling
stories.
He
has to sift through them, so yeah, just walk
money.
Away from it.
Send me money, that's more like
send
it.
Send me Bitcoin. Yeah. Bitches.
Back in the Premier League, West Ham got a vital win against Swansea. Huge win for Billich. You saw his reaction at full time.
He was crying out for the final whistle, wasn't he?
My goodness, yeah. Lovely goal from Kouyaté to win it. With results elsewhere going West Ham's way, they're looking much better. 8 points above Swansea.
It's funny how much that swings at this point in the season.
I was saying it. I mean, I said to you a week or two ago, I was on TalkSport and they were saying about fearing for West Ham. And I was saying, look at the fixtures they've got. They've only got to get four more points.
You laugh?
They're fine.
Yeah, I did.
I laughed in their face. Needless to say, I had the last laugh. Because now there's no way West Ham are going to get relegated. Which West Ham fans won't thank me for saying, by the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not, as you say. I mean, the Swans are in trouble, big trouble. 2 points off Hull with six. Excuse me, with six matches to play. I'm getting choked up here for Paul Clement. Palace play Arsenal at the time of recording. That hasn't happened. They've still got another game in hand, no matter what that result is.
Yeah.
So it looks like one from those three, really, because Sunderland have probably gone.
Well, look at it this way, right? You're right, but Middlesbrough and Sunderland are both relegated. Mm-hmm. I mean, not literally, but I think we could agree that they are. At least one space left. Swansea are third bottom with 28 points from 32 games. Yeah. West Ham have got 36 points from 32 games. The way Swans have been going this season, they need to play another 8 games to get those 6 points to make up to West Ham. Right? They've only got 6 games left. So by definition, West Ham, I know it's not quite as scientific as that, but West Ham just need another point, and they'll get that. And besides, they're above three other sides in anyway.
Jim, it's Swansea, it's Palace, and it's Hull.
Absolutely, yeah. But Palace and Hull just have more momentum, don't they? Because, you know, the wins Clement got were a while ago now, and you feel that sort of malaise slipping back into them.
Yeah,
you wonder if it was
actually
just a new manager bounce.
Yeah, they haven't won for over a month. I mean, Hull were beaten last time out, but that's against Man City, and that's fair enough. They had a big boost against Middlesbrough, they beat them, and, you know, Palace won four in a row before they lost to Southampton, and they're going to play Arsenal tonight, which is a tough one. But I think really they're vying for one place left. It's going to come from Bournemouth, Palace, Hull or Swansea.
Pete, you're from the northeast of England, of course, famously and infamously for those who still live there.
Tragic, isn't it?
Tragic. Sunderland and Middlesbrough, they do look gone. Yeah. If you can look such a thing, but Newcastle are going to come up and represent the North East
as best they can.
Even though referees are blatantly flouting the law to punish them, the Newcastle will not be denied.
I'll tell you what, Newcastle haven't played well in a good 5 matches. They might mess it up. They might have to. They might slide into the playoffs.
Well, if they did get to the playoff final, there's a final for you, Moore.
That
they're not already in.
No, exactly.
Everton beat Leicester City 4-2.
This was a great game.
Was a entertaining one at Goodison.
So much happened so quickly.
Two fine goals in the first 5 minutes.
Oh my goodness. Well, the first 10 there was three, wasn't there?
I love the engine on Tom Davies. It's funny, isn't it? Like, now he's shaved his beard, he looks 18. He didn't before. He looked a lot older, but now it's like, oh my god, that's just a sperm in a kit.
He was like rabbit in the headlights in the post-match interview.
Yeah,
he's like really like, he looked like one of those French reliquist dummies, like really big eyes and a big teeth like that, you know.
Horrible stuff happening to Ross Barkley when footage of him appearing to be punched
in
the club.
Yeah, that's awful.
But he played very well during the game, and that cross he put in for Lukaku,
beautiful, perfect.
Like,
why didn't Lukaku celebrate that goal?
Well, I was a bit annoyed that maybe he thought, oh, it's Barkley's goal, I don't know, but I was a bit annoyed that sometimes when strikers, somebody sets up, they go over to the person who set them up, or they point to them or acknowledge them in some way, whereas Lukaku, as you say, just seemed a bit annoyed. And I thought Barkley made it so easy. You didn't. Obviously, Lukaku made the run. He's got in that position, so obviously it's his goal, and he takes a lot of credit there. But he didn't have to jump. He didn't have to sprint. I mean, it was one of the passes of the season.
It was a fantastic cross.
Maybe be a strange way of expressing a sort of release of tension, because he was, you know, he wasn't great against Liverpool, wasn't great against Man United.
Yeah, because he did celebrate his second goal.
Yeah.
You see, he was back to sort of his normal celebration his second goal.
Leicester did not enjoy the old corner kind of whipped in.
Some of the defending was truly dreadful.
Yeah, that's right. It was a strange one for Leicester. They were their winning streak obviously came to an end. Yeah.
A great match to play just before you play Atletico Madrid.
Oh, God,
right. In the Champions League. On a Sunday, on a late Sunday fixture.
Without Wes Morgan as well. They were really exposed without him, and that's you got to worry for them against Atleti.
But everyone worried about him against Sevilla.
Yeah, but that might be true, but that doesn't mean worries aren't true. Unfounded later.
True. Big Wes was there.
Yeah,
they'll put narrative at centre back, and they'll be fine.
That's true. Although, Wes Morgan and Huth didn't cover themselves in glory, especially that first half against Sevilla. But they got through.
But if they get to the semi, I'll tell you what. Craziness.
Stop this.
Craziness.
Surely. Yeah. Morgan Schneiderlin of Everton is the latest player to have played under Louis van Gaal at Manchester United to have a pop at him. They seemed to queue up, didn't they, when he left? People saying, "All right, I've got a few things to say about Van Gaal."
By a thousand digs.
So it's taken Schneiderlin a while to say this, but he said the first. This is great. The first year with Louis van Gaal sticks in the throat.
God, didn't get him out, did he?
Easy. I didn't take any pleasure on the pitch. With him, I felt like a robot.
Mm-hmm. So, lots of players have said that before.
Yeah, well, Schneiderlin said that effectively his tactics were more a list of things you couldn't do rather than what he could do. So he'd sort of approach things thinking, "Oh, I'm not supposed to do this. So what do I do? What does he want me to do?"
That's really funny because I spoke to a professional footballer once who said that on the day of the game, the only thing he ever lets himself hear are essentially positive affirmations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He never says in his affirmations that he repeats to himself, "I will not do this." He always says, "I will do this."
Yeah.
to maintain a positive sort of reinforcement. So Van Gaal obviously didn't subscribe to that.
Well, I was going to say, he didn't play under Van Gaal, did he?
No, because if he didn't.
Van Gaal would be going, "Oi, take those headphones off, listen to me. No, you're ruining everything. Don't let in a goal. All right, that's fine. Score a goal." Oh, blimey. Let's move on to the Championship, where Sheffield Wednesday did beat Newcastle 2-1. The Geordie boys are still riding high, though, in the automatics promotion spots. Peter, are you worried?
No, I mean,
they've got a big old push.
10 points, 10 points between them and Huddersfield. I think they'll be all right.
Would you be annoyed if Newcastle don't actually win the league, or do you not care? Get them up.
I don't think it really matters, but I think they need investment, I think. I think I think maybe Rafa's just sort of going, don't take it too, don't go too hard at the back end of the season, because we will need reinforcement. And Mike Ashley's already said that he's basically not going to spend any money because he's... Oh, I'm poor.
But the good news is, though, Mike Ashley did say, if you remember, on a very rare interview with Sky Sports, I think maybe a season or two ago now, that if Newcastle win a cup or finish in the top four, he'll sell the club.
Yeah, yeah.
So
does this count as top four, do you reckon?
Yeah.
Which league were you saying top four?
Yeah, exactly.
It's often overlooked, but surely it is good, especially for the for the morale of the team, to actually win the competition you're in.
Especially because they've been leading for a lot of the time.
The other thing about the Championship sort of picture is that no other team is really gunning for it. There's no one who's timed their run and winning every game. If you look at the teams below them, Huddersfield have lost three of their last four. Reading were absolutely pummeled at the weekend.
Oh my God.
Leeds have lost two of their last three. And Sheffield Wednesday are way too far behind in the 15th.
So maybe everyone's doing it.
Yeah. But on the other hand, if any club could somehow scupper themselves, Newcastle would probably be in the top three, I'd say.
You're not expecting any sort of guest appearances by King Kev at any point, are you? Because that'll curse it.
Yeah.
Shelvey nearly scored the goal.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, brilliant. That's so good.
Really,
remember when Sean Adam kept trying to do that and he eventually did do it? A few ex-pro pundits come out and said, it looks really good and everything, but it's really annoying when players try that in midfield all the time because it's such a waste of possession.
Yeah, massively.
And Carragher, I think, was it...
hit the bar from his own half, if anyone missed it.
Yeah. Wasn't there a situation where when Charlie Adam did it, someone else in the team, when he shot, was he playing for Liverpool at the time, Adam?
Yeah, sounds familiar.
And I think someone, it might have been Carragher, when he strikes the ball, he actually scores, but he strikes the ball from the halfway line to have a shot. I think it might be Carragher who just goes, you could see him really annoyed about it. And I think the rumour came out that it's apparently because Adam tries it all the time.
Do you know what? That is interesting because I know it's almost, bordering on ridiculous, using our own footballing experiences when we're talking about professional footballers, but I can remember being in a team with a lad who would try that sort of thing, and you were almost, one or two of us were almost annoyed when he actually did it, because you think, oh, that's brilliant, he'll try it even more.
The old Sunday League adage, when a team is truly beaten, they try and score from the kickoff. When they're about 6-0 down, when they're truly beaten, when has a shot from the kickoff.
That happened in Brazil recently, someone scored from a kickoff, because you can do that now, can't you? You can shoot directly from a kickoff, and there was a Brazilian player.
Not directly, I don't think.
The boys have to go forward. It doesn't have to now. That's the only change.
But regardless of that, someone actually did it in Brazil. It's incredible. I think it might have been his first goal for his new club as well.
that's right. Yeah, it was fairly recent. Yeah, you're right, you are.
Did Xabi Alonso do that twice for Liverpool as well? Score from halfway line or
there. We were at a football match over the weekend and we'll come on and talk to it, but there was times I was going, keepers are all fair whack.
But that's, they do. They
why doesn't somebody have a shot?
Keepers are sweepers, he says. We all know that. Yeah, absolutely.
We've got to mention Norwich 7, Reading 1. I mean, yaps, chaps.
Half-time talk on that. What are you doing?
Yeah. Some of the defending was unreal. So some of the worst. For a team who are quite good.
We're in the playoffs.
Some of the worst defending I've seen all season.
So they were 6-1 down at half-time with Reading.
Cameron Jerome looked embarrassed to score.
Yeah.
He should be delighted to score.
That's what it's come to. That's what it's come to. Cameron Jerome taking advantage of a defensive mix-up.
This is a very interesting state of affairs with Reading, because if they do make the playoffs and they win it, they could be blocked from being promoted if the Chinese siblings, Yong Dai and Zhu Li Dai, take over the club, as they didn't get into the Premier League.
They didn't pass the fit and proper person test
when they tried to buy Hull last summer.
If you are Reading, you're thinking, you're not having it then. Yeah. You are not buying this club then, because that's literally the whole point of this.
Yeah. That would be gutting. Yeah.
And they let anyone in.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah.
What have they done this
How
lot?
Have you got to fail that?
Yeah.
I'd love to know what's going on there. Yeah.
Just on fire in a fireproof suit in the meeting.
Yeah. Norwich, they were looking all right for threatening the playoff spots when they've fallen away.
So. Well, they had a bit of an inconsistent season. Didn't they start quite well and they dropped off badly and now they've gone...
Oh, they got Alan Irvine. Is it Alan Irvine who's the caretaker boss now, I think, because they got rid of the manager? Bit of a shame. Before we move on to the Championship, little mention for Anthony Knockhart, your favourite player in the Championship, Luke.
Yeah.
Or certainly the best player.
Not necessarily a personal favourite, just I think he's a stand-up player in that league, and he got player of the year, didn't he?
So, yeah, you're backed up.
There you go.
Was it Danny Mills in the commentary when Shelby hit the bar from his own half? And he said, he's the best player in the Championship for me.
Yeah, well, whenever I say the knockout thing, I do get quite a lot of people saying that, Shelby.
It's the bald man's union.
Yeah. It might be on Newcastle fans.
He was banned for racism, to be fair. I wouldn't vote.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about his footballing ability,
is it? Yeah.
I didn't say what.
I think it taints it for people.
Yeah, we're not saying he's the best bloke in the league. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what that is?
He is the moral arbiter of that league.
Yeah. Speaking of moral arbiters, Donaldson.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Before you move on from, I know you've already moved on from Norwich, but I just thought it's worth mentioning. Don't forget that Ed Balls is the chairman of Norwich.
Ed Balls.
Mm. Always nice to get a reminder. Strictly Come Dancing, Ed Balls.
That's right. Yeah.
Gangnam Style. Oh, Balls.
Before you move on from the Championship, you see Franco Zola got a vote of confidence today.
Yeah. He'll be off by the end of the month.
It's hard to think of a managerial appointment that's gone worse than that. Shearer at Newcastle, probably up there.
He had six matches. Feckless individuals.
Yeah, he had six matches.
And Mark Viduka. Yeah.
So what are you saying, Pete? If he had more than six matches, it would have been better.
Yeah.
Franco Zola's won 2 out of 22, I think.
That is dreadful, isn't it?
Big name, though.
The great thing about that, right, the poetry of football and as you always say, the narrative is that the game that caused the owners to give Franco Zola their own appointment of vote of confidence was a defeat to Gary Rowett's Derby. You gotta love that. They did 6 points. They could feasibly be relegated. I think they're about 7th or 8th, maybe even higher when they fired Rowett, and now they're 18th, 6 points off relegation.
Ridiculous.
And they're only going one way.
Yeah. Well, Sheffield United are only going one way, mate. In League One.
Yeah.
They're going up. They're promoted back to the Championship after 6 seasons. In League One. That's meant. When I read that, I thought that can't be true. Yeah. Emmanuel is.
It's a pitch invasion as well, wasn't there?
Of course it was.
Yeah, lovely.
They went 1-0 down. Who were they away to? Northampton Town, I think it was. They got the equaliser. I mean, they've romped that division.
Yeah.
Romped.
Chris Wilder's done a... It's a derby next season, isn't it?
Yes.
We'll see.
We'll see if Wednesday go up. Chris Wilder's done a great job there. Came in last summer. But yeah, they went 1-0 down away and then 1-0 and then scored a winner 2 minutes from time. Everyone was on the pitch pretty much after when that one went in, and then, of course, when the final whistle went.
Wouldn't they have been promoted anyway if they had just drawn, though, because I think it would have had 86 points.
Actually, no, do you know what they should win the league because they're 9 points ahead of second place Bolton, 4 games remaining.
That's
so
right.
That should be
so they got a 16 point cushion of third, which essentially is promoted. and it would have been 14 points.
It was just a matter of time.
Anyway, maths isn't my strong point, but fair enough. Point
very
taken.
Much so, yeah. Another promotion happened in this time in League Two. Doncaster have been promoted back to League One at the first attempt. Does that
get them out of the way, mate.
Does that get you going, Luke?
Get them out of the way.
Another win for Pompey. They're 8 points above Luton in fourth with just 5 games left. Portsmouth are on for it. I mean, we've been saying this for a few weeks. This is
uncharacteristically, we've won 6 of our last 7 games at a key point of the season.
It's rare to see you shuffle nervously in your seat, Luke, but it's happening right now.
And one or two, I think definitely one, possibly two of our players were voted in their League Two Team of the Year as
How about that?
Yeah, that's all right.
8 points clear of fourth.
Yeah, exactly. That's decent. Yeah, and three go up automatically. And Luton haven't been brilliant recently. They've won the last couple. Where
how are you going to celebrate the promotion?
Well, no, because again, this goes back to the whole thing about Mignolet. It's just why. Listen, you've been dreadful. Now you're sort of approaching acceptable. Let's call it quits.
All right.
Yeah, there's no call to celebration.
It's a joyous game, isn't it?
Yeah, no, exactly. It is.
What are you hoping for?
When Portsmouth get that to the Championship, then I'll start celebrating.
Well, the chase at the Championship.
I'd say that's probably that level, yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah, you know when Mario Balotelli said he'll only celebrate a goal when he scores in the World Cup final?
Yeah, he's got to he's got to readdress that.
Yeah. Never think about that.
Yeah. Okay. No more celebrations.
The thing is, though, that's the level of my ambition. Like, that's the sort of football. The thing about this, right, is, and we're going to come on to this in the third part of the show, I know, we're at the Madrid derby at the weekend, yeah. Right? I spent not loads of time, but a decent amount of time checking the Pompey score. Yeah. That's how ridiculous it is. Because that's what it's like being a football fan. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm not shooting for the moon, Jim. That's the thing. My ambitions don't even consist of, I'd love Portsmouth to get back in the Europa League. I just want us to get in the Championship. I'll be happy with that.
Just that.
Yeah.
I'd say League One first, mate.
And then. Yeah. And with all due respect to these teams I'm going to mention here, I'd like to look at my app on my phone and go, who are we playing like this week? Oh, it's not Yeovil Town. Do you know what I mean? It's not Newport County, you know what I mean?
Shortthefootballramble.com. Yeah.
I chose those teams because hardly anyone supports them.
We are going to talk about our little trip to Madrid after this.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Heads up, it's the Ramblers.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Do not forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out this Friday. And my goodness.
History has been made.
Hasn't it just?
Yeah, Jack Kay, 2 out of 2. He's going for a hat-trick this Thursday.
A hat-trick is on the
card. It'll be out on Friday, so don't miss it. I mean, he'll be the first. He's already the first listener ever to get 2 bets of the week for prostate cancer UK in a row, and he's going for his third, so that's one to tune in for.
Magnificent. Wow. Well done, JK.
Yeah, Jack K. Not the guy from Jamiroquai.
No, but JK's.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, it's true. Very true.
Well,
yeah.
As are JK's.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I would imagine our Jack K isn't as objectionable as that man.
No. Better tasting hats, you'd hope even so. If he doesn't ever wear a hat.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, he's got nice cars, though.
Yeah, he has actually. But I don't know anything about cars.
Let's, before we go to La Liga, let's quickly to the non-league. South Shields have broken the unofficial world record by taking their winning streak to 31 matches in all competitions.
Knee bad.
That's the most by a semi-pro or a professional club. Now, East Kilbride famously beat Ajax's record.
That's right.
They went on to win 30 games consecutively.
What's the cut-off point, though, Marcus, for it to count as a record?
Does well, the legitimacy of this has been questioned, so right. You're right to ask that. Because there was an amateur side called Withenshaw Town. I think that's how you pronounce it. They went
Withenshaw's near Manchester, isn't it?
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, they went on a 38-game winning run in 2015. The record is only meant to stand for sides playing in their country's top tier.
Right, OK. Well, that's no nonsense then, isn't it?
Yeah, which means Welsh Premier League side, the New Saints, their 27 wins in a row does take the record. Well, but then you could argue they're not a professional side.
Yeah, you could argue that it's not... Well, I suppose it is a recognised league, right? Because they get entrance into Europe and stuff like that, don't they? So I guess that does count.
I mean, it's whatever it is, South Shields have been magnificent.
Yeah, cool, well, clearly, yeah. Yeah. Clearly.
Hey, what do you reckon to all this?
They're magnificent. What do you want me to say,
Well, you
Marcus?
Had a problem with East Kilbride's...
South Shields is near where you're from, Pete.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're representing the North East.
We saw a couple
well.
Of lads who supported them, who went down very... very regularly when we went to play Newcastle.
We also saw a bunch of boys who played in the same division as them and hated them.
But you were hating on East Kilbride, remember, when you were like, I'm not having it.
Pete doesn't remember.
I don't remember
last week. Yeah.
I don't remember what I did 10 minutes ago.
He couldn't remember the emails. You remember the name of a single email.
Okay. Well, I thought your views on Sean Wright Phillips earlier were fantastic.
we didn't have any Sean Wright Phillips emails in this week.
That's the joke, isn't it?
There might be something coming up.
Oh, hello.
Just putting it out there. If we've got time, there might be something coming up.
Now, let's go to La Liga.
Yes.
Because we were there in the Bernabeu. Real Madrid 1, Atletico Madrid 1.
Fantastic. Shelling seeds. God, they love seeds out
there. They do love seeds. Yeah. It's not just at the Nou Camp, the Bernabeu too.
Yeah, I love them.
It is a cathedral of football, that place.
It is. Great. Well, the strange thing about the Bernabeu is obviously Real Madrid are very much known as being the establishment team. But you get there and it really does feel like that, doesn't it? It feels like you're at some sort of rally being held by some sort of, you know, benevolent dictatorship.
Easy. Man, Europe, mate.
Yeah, I thought it was very organised and very sort of like sort of choreographed.
Mm. Yeah.
Even the football itself, you know. Mm. You appreciate watching it on TV. We've been to many games overseas, not to show off. We've been to many games overseas. But for the first time, I genuinely thought, God, at the top level now, football, so it's so almost... It feels more like a public event than anything else.
Very theatrical.
But that, yeah, absolutely, that's the right word for it. But I do think the atmosphere in there was pretty good. I thought, especially when Atletico had the ball, the Real Madrid fans made themselves.
The whistling
known.
Is incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and Luke were in the bit where you held up big bits of card. Yeah. Terribly waste, wasn't it?
Black pieces of paper. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realise that the ink comes off in your hands and your face turns up. So it looked like I'd applied like a fake beard.
Yeah, because you pushed your head through it, which most people
don't
do.
No one else did that. Yeah.
Yeah, and the first thing to say about that is that wasn't even the first time that weekend that you covered your face in black dirt.
Yeah,
true. Yeah, the difference was, so I covered myself in black dirt, and then we went to a sherry bar.
Yeah.
And Marcus came up and went, the other lads don't want me to tell you this.
I told you not to tell them, and I ain't doubting it to everybody.
Dobbing each other in.
I'm saying it's good. I'm saying you're a good man. He said, Pete, the other
we
one...
We know
the
he's
other
not
lads,
a good man.
The other lads didn't want me to tell you, but you've got black all over your face.
Because you wiped
head.
Your face across a temporary bar on the roof of our hotel, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I was trying to do the Michael Sheen bit in Passengers.
I would have put my house on you not remembering the name of that film.
It's good, isn't it?
Basically, I was saying...
Yeah. Marcus has been a good man.
Thank you.
I won't have any more chat of Marcus being a good man.
I was about to say.
Player I was most impressed with in that game, obviously finished 1-0 for those who didn't see it. Griezmann cancelled out Pepe's opener. Was Marcelo. Marcelo was fantastic. Mm. It's the best fullback performance I've seen for a very long time. I think it's the type of position and the type of performance you wouldn't necessarily notice too much if you just watched it on TV.
He's so dynamic, isn't he?
Really, really good.
Well, I actually interestingly felt, because we were sat in different parts of the stadium, that Felipe Luis actually really stood out as a real just constant option for Atleti. So much goes through him, and Marcelo is similar, actually.
Both teams are so full of energy.
Brazilian fullbacks, people. Yeah. Well, I know everybody knows this, that the Spanish, they like to play the ball out from the back. They're very good on the ball and so on. But when you see it in the flesh, and we have done, we've seen Barcelona play. I've been to the Bernabeu before.
Yeah.
But I think what was surprising is when Keylor Navas, who can be a little bit unconventional at times, and he's quite an entertaining goalkeeper, plays the ball out to, say, Sergio Ramos or Pepe, and Griezmann is bearing down on him, or even Torres, they play it out from the back all the time. And you think to yourself, that would never happen in England. Yeah. John Stones should go and play in Spain because that style of football is. And you realise why Guardiola loves him so much, because that's the way he does it. And I thought, why are they playing it out
from
the back?
They almost do it in spite of themselves. Exactly. They almost do it, like, even
slightly
though,
perilous.
Because the thing that really sort of, and I'm not a tactical expert or anything like that, but the thing that really sort of annoys me when I watch a game, either on TV or in the flesh, but particularly in the flesh, is when they knock it short to the defender, knock it back, defender again, back to the keeper. And the keeper and just lumps it anyway. What's the point? What is the point
doing
that?
I do agree with that.
What I found fascinating about that, because it was really, really clear that how regularly they were just playing things out from the back with no panic at all, is how the crowd don't panic because they're so used to it. In England, that's half everyone of where the pressure comes from. But everyone sort of gets very vocal.
But the difference is, if the crowd... if they did just boot it long or go for a hit and hopeful, the crowd would probably get annoyed in Spain, because they'd say, why are you giving the ball away? And that's the difference, is they'd rather take the... they don't see it as a risk playing out from the back. And even if they're boxed into the corner, they'll try and play their way out because they've still got the ball. And if they give the ball away... then, or if they knock it out for the... oh, well, we tried not to give it away. Whereas if you just knock it long... you're giving it away, and they think that it's almost like a longer term approach.
You're not necessarily giving it away. You're giving yourself like a 50-50 chance of winning it, aren't you?
Well, not 50-50, I suppose English teams think we'll win the ball up the pitch.
A lot of tactical thinking, as far as I understand it, is focused not just on that, but on the second ball, picking up the scraps, getting the ball back, further up the pitch.
But when everyone's so good on the ball, like they are, all of that Real Madrid side and Atletico Madrid side, also comfortable on the ball. You know, so how many...
That's why Navas starts for Real Madrid, essentially, because, I mean, I've never really... I mean, I thought he had a good tournament when he sort of came to everyone's consciousness, and I admit I didn't really know much of him before then. I was surprised that Real Madrid took him, and I've not really seen anything since to make me think that he's a brilliant keeper anyway.
Yeah. I think a bit unorthodox.
Well, I think there's a reason that Real Madrid are linked with keepers quite a lot, and I think there's a reason that... I think there's probably a lot to be said for Real Madrid should really be having a better goalkeeper than that, as far as a club
there. I think he's quite well liked there, though, isn't he? Which is a tough thing at Madrid. I mean, some fans around us were booing Gareth Bale when he came off. He had an ineffectual game, but it wasn't like he had a particularly bad
performance. I thought they were booing the decision.
I thought they were saying boo ale.
The three beautiful things, though: the goal line clearance.
Oh, from Savage. That was magnificent.
I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe it.
That's one of the best goal line clearances I've seen.
Because we were quite close, weren't we? We were like, what the hell just happened? I thought it hit the post or something. Yeah,
that Matt
Loughton point blank hitting it.
That Matt Loughton clearance against Middlesbrough was amazing as well. Yeah, that was fantastic. But you're right.
My other two beautiful things: Griezmann's bicycle kick.
Oh yeah,
which was offside.
Which is offside, and it didn't.
So I'm glad he didn't score, because if he'd have scored, mind you, I might have given my allegiance away in the home end.
You nearly did anyway. When they scored, you squeezed my leg so hard.
Yeah,
was that the moment they scored?
It's like one of the times.
Jim, again, I told you not to tell me.
And finally, for now, Gareth Bale did a throw-in where he drilled it really straight, and I've never actually seen a ball go quite so far and quite so straight before. Into the box is beautiful.
I've never seen Peter so animated about anything at a football game.
It's a throwing.
Yeah.
It's a bloody throwing.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
It was brilliant. But the one sort of slightly sour note was Fernando Torres had two chances. One in the first half where he let the ball go under his feet, and then the second half where
he'll do this, mate.
Yeah, I just thought to myself, like, you just can't rely on him, and it's such a shame. Yeah.
Let him go, Marcus. You've got to let him go.
We've all got to let him go. I think he's been good to us over the years, Fernando Towers.
There we are. Before we leave La Liga, Granada. Granada have announced that Tony Adams is their new manager until the end of the season.
I was going to bring this up in the highlights of the weekend, but we can do it now.
Let's go straight to the highlights of the weekend. We'll look more.
Big Tony Adams has got a new job.
Bugger off.
Yeah, Granada.
Granada very much like a sort of expat town? I thought, you know what, I could just effectively retire early.
No, I meant the television network, Jim.
Yeah.
All right.
He looks more and more like miserable actor David Morris here when I see him.
Somebody emailed in a picture of him, which, again, because I didn't have pictures on me emails, I couldn't show you. But he's basically in a three-piece.
Yeah, that's right.
The sort of fashion you would make a pill out of.
To me, it looked like one of those things that graphic designers have to draw on. Those green and white checked, but like soft mouse mat type things.
Yeah. Oh, what, like a stylus and
I don't know what the name of it is. Sort of.
We should say he's been at the club since November working away, and he works alongside the Granada presidents.
He's mates with the owner, basically.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that how any British manager gets a job out there?
That's the thing, Pete. The irony being that if you...
Befriend a Spaniard.
Any ex-player pundit pretty much will talk about how English managers don't get a chance in England. Yeah, Tony Adams, who's absolutely underqualified for any sort of manager.
There's no way he should be in that.
He's just walked into a La Liga position. Yeah. Tony Adams is going to be managing against Real Madrid in the competitive league fixture this season.
Hola.
Great,
so, you know, and he's only there till the summer. They're obviously going to get relegated because he's dreadful. And then he's going to go back to wherever he came from because he had that. He was managing in Azerbaijan before that.
That was a number of years ago.
Yeah.
And Portsmouth before.
Yeah. Well, you managed Portsmouth. That's probably there we are. You might have got to the bottom of why I feel so strongly about
there
it.
There we go. But the highlights of the weekend are
yeah.
in hand.
A lot of mentions for that Matt Loughton clearance for Burnley, which I touched on there. Different to Savage's one, but equally as impressive, I'd argue. Yeah, yeah. Finlay Ross, my highlight was a lovely inclusion of Scottish football terms on last week's pod. As one, it makes a change from you just rightfully slagging it off. And two, allow me to put forward Burach. I think it might be Burak, actually, which is more of a west north of Scotland word, which roughly translates to as it's a mess, i.e. what a Burak in the box, or Pete is a drunken Burak.
Or a Barack Obama.
Have you heard that, Marcus? Could you know, help me out on the pronunciation?
No, I don't. A bit too high up for you, maybe.
It's spelled B-O-O-R-A-C-H, anyway. Anyone wants to get
that one.
Burach! There you go. That sounds about right.
That'll do.
Tom Carter, I've got a correction on your Gaza/boot-cleaning anecdote, as you guys couldn't remember the story. It was Kevin Keegan's boots he cleaned at Newcastle, and he took them home to show off to his mates, but accidentally left them on the bus.
Of course.
I don't think I ever knew that story.
There you go. That's why we couldn't remember it then.
What we like about the story is that Keegan lost his boots.
Yeah. Well, quite.
Gaza cleaning Keegan's boots.
I know, it doesn't get any better than that. Alan Creswell, my heart of the week, other than the tantalising prospect of hearing about what Pete got up to in Madrid, we ain't got time for that now. No. That'll be a special for next month. was receiving live updates from my girlfriend while she was waiting in the gym for an osteopath appointment. As Jamie Carragher came in, opened the door to the osteo room, closed it again, loitered around for a bit doing some stretches before eventually going into a spin class. We deduced that he must have been looking for the spin class when opening the osteo door. Imagine having your osteopath appointment interrupted by the door opening, Jamie Carragher's head popping around the door frame, and after scanning the room wordlessly closing it again. Friend of the ramble, Jamie Carragher. Can't slate him too much.
Certainly not.
Takes his fitness very seriously.
Absolutely.
I think he goes boxing every morning. Chris Brain, the delightfully named Chris Brain. After playing well for an hour and providing an assist, Jose subbed off Luke Shaw just so he doesn't make his manager look like a fool.
Yep.
Needless to say, Jose will always have the last laugh.
Yeah, it's fair to say Chris Brain's the more thinking man's football ramble fan.
Yeah, I'd say he probably is, yeah. He's the brains of the outfit. Ed Marshall, tirelessly looking through all weekend's football action to see if I can legitimately bring up Sean Wright Phillips. The best I got was his dad was on Match of the Day. Yeah. And I'll end with this one from Tom Whittaker. I decided not to bother with Middlesbrough away. Massive highlight for me.
Yeah. That's great.
You guys got any?
Yeah, my personal one is going back to the Man United Sunderland game. Jose Mourinho's post-match comments were, when you play against a team that is sad, if you score before, the game is almost over because it's difficult to react.
I love that.
A team that is sad.
They are sad, though. It's an absolutely excellent description.
A lad called Casper got in touch and mentioned the... did you see that video of the video assistant referee in the Wellington Phoenix match?
No.
Yeah,
into like a minute and a half later or something like that, and the referee pulls everything back for a penalty. It was unspeakably joyless.
Yeah, and I also, Pete, I heard in another game in Australia, speaking of hateful, I think I might have got this wrong. I don't know the detail. I'm sure people will correct me. I think what I saw happen was, or what I saw described, was that the referee tried to throw to a video assistant referee at the end of the game, and it took so long he just blew up for full time.
Brilliant.
Wow. So,
why is it taking so long?
It's not a great start to the introduction of it.
Jeez.
Oh, superb. Now, a little bit of a Gigi Becali update here.
Okay.
Many of us remember that marvellous occasion when Stoyer owner Gigi Becali was sent to prison. If you're late to the party with Becali, he's a real shit.
Yeah.
He's an awful piece of work and owns Stoyer Bucharest. Recently asked about his time in prison. Was Mr. Becali. I don't know why, I'm not quite sure. But he replied...
He probably put a press release out, didn't he?
Maybe that. Yeah. Well, yeah.
People need to hear this.
He said, I had both a bed and a hammock. This is in prison. I ate with spoons and forks made of gold, and the guards did my sweeping. Why? I'm Becali. My name really helped. The prison in question released a statement in response to that read, this has no basis in fact.
He's still the owner of Stoyer as well, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, isn't he changing it to Becali FC or
that
something?
That was the talk, wasn't it? Yeah.
If you want to check out more of his crimes, check out the Aircast Plus special this week, because Luke...
That's right.
...drills down on his Wikipedia, let's say.
I drilled down on Becali for a live show or two, just because, you know, something we can all get behind, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Get the crowd on side early on.
He could certainly unite a lot of people against him.
Yeah, quite.
For all the wrong reasons. There we are. We're done, Japs.
Yep, like most of the Real Madrid fans, after Atletico equalised in the 85th minute, we're leaving.
That's right. Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Right, there it is. Remember, the preview show is out this Friday. And, of course, the live show, that will be coming soon. The old details and whatnot.
27th of May. Keep checking social media.
In London. Marvellous stuff. Say goodbye, Luke.
Oh, goodbye.
Sorry.
That was a confusing
curveball.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Good day.
Say goodbye, me. Goodbye. And say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.